Thank you. You may be seated. Nice to be back. When you miss a week of worship at home, you really realize how much it is that you enjoy being here. But I did have a good trip back to South Carolina. It was nice to celebrate the bicentennial of my home church and see many of the people that helped raise me and turn me into the person that I ended up being today. But I do want to talk about the text. Yeah, you laughing, Pat, over there. I see. Well, when we sit down and we look at this text out of the gospel, it can be a challenge because of the fact that Jesus is addressing a guy who obviously has a little bit of money, who's a rule follower, and then is instead told to go and sell and give all that he's got to those in need. I remember preaching this scripture one time up in the mountains, up in the Catskills, where the county we lived in. It's one of the poorest in New York. I think the poverty rate at one time was like 28%. I'd have to go back and double check. Most of the school was on free or reduced lunch there, and it's far from what it is here. People up there whose primary heat comes from wood-burning stoves. Now, this was shocking even to Romy's grandmothers who live in Slovakia, who thought that no one in the United States would have to use wood as their primary source of heat. And for hot water and to not freeze to death. Good little story. I remember I had a request once from someone that needed food up there in Delaware County, but also couldn't pick it up on their own from the church and ask if I could deliver it. And I said, sure. And I went in over to the church. The musician happened to be there. I told her where I was going, and she looked at me and she says, oh no, Pastor. This was an area where a murderer that they could never pin the body on, this is where he lived. This is also the same guy that put his mama in the freezer when she died so he could keep getting the Social Security checks. So I told everyone that I could find before I went out there where I was going, so if I didn't make it back, send a search party out. I mean, y'all's laughing, but I'm serious. I told these people where I was going. I mean, these are the mountains up there. But this is the nature of how it is in our society and in our culture. And now that I've lived in what most of New York calls upstate and the Hudson Valley and Jersey just outside of Newark and now on Long Island, all those questions I had about Northerners growing up have been answered. Y'all's a varied people up here in the Northeast. But all kidding aside, even though that simple little request for food came out and I knew the area and the fact that it was this guy who they could never convict, it was his territory, part of me said, just say you don't have anything to spare this week until the food bank truck comes in next week to make a big delivery. I mean, at least there's some little glimmer of a promise there that there's going to be food one day for them. I first of all believe in doing no harm. They said they were hungry. They said they needed food. I actually had some spare food at that time. And I think it would have been hard to justify not actually following through on that action. Now, when I got there, it was quite eye-opening. It looked like a normal little house till you walked in and you realized it was below 50 degrees in that house. As they were huddled around the little teeny wood stove like you pick up at the tractor supply. That was their primary mode of heat that winter. But I told you that story to make a little point. Some things are easier to do than others, aren't they? It's always easier to obey a law when there's negative connotations to it, right? Speed limit, 30 miles an hour. That one's pretty cut and dry, isn't it? Stop signs. Radcliffe, I know sometimes it seems like it's a suggestion more than an actual object to obey, but theoretically you stop, right? Occasionally. Even the Ten Commandments, they're largely these negative type rules. Remember all those thou shalt nots that's up in there? You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, house, livestock. You no other gods before me. Don't take my name in vain. Don't murder. No adultery. What commandments in there were not negative in what they are prescribing us to do? I think there's two of them that were in there. One of them is remember the Sabbath. And honor your mother and your daddy. Your mama and your daddy, your parents. Thank you, Elaine. We're to remember the Sabbath, that it's God's day for us to gather and praise and thanksgiving, to be renewed and rejuvenated in the spirit, to go about the work of building up the kingdom of God in this world so that others will see us and they'll look and they'll be like, that's a happy bunch of people right there. I wonder what their key to success is. Because we all know what it really is deep down inside of our hearts. Because more than likely, at one point in time in our lives, we may have been negative. Because it's easy to be negative, isn't it? It's easier to be hateful than to be loving, right? You really have to try to love somebody, but boy, is it easy to just say, I can't stand you. For some reason, being mean doesn't take much effort. I'm sure Pastor Romy can share some stories of when she did not have coffee for me ready in the mornings. But you know, I wanted to make an excuse so doggone bad to not take that food that day. Definitely not do good and probably do harm. Not looking after the work God would have us to do. We can be masters of excuses, but what about those times when God actually goes through all the trouble to actually engage in conversation with us? Those times when Jesus gets our attentions, like that guy there, telling him to sell all he's got, because, boy, there are times when God demands and God's calling upon us sounds pretty unreasonable and way too complicated and flat out undesirable for us to follow. And haven't you been there? Lord knows I have. Dear God, just give me a nice little small town church in South Carolina for a decade or so. Let me be on Easy Street. Don't you dare send me to that godforsaken land of the Jets and the Giants. And Yankees fans and then that one Met fan. Nah, I'm kidding. I see there's no way to dig out of that hole other than to say I quit watching baseball after the Braves in 95. The trifecta, Maddox, Schmoltz, and Glavin. And whether you can relate or not, I want to tell you something this morning, something for you to think about, to take home, really, really think about, to pray over, to be intentional about. Because there's a hungry world out there starving to hear what we have to offer and what we have to say. There are people out there whose fear runs deep and whose faith shrinks smaller each day as they have to look and see injustices done to them, done to people like them in the name of someone else's agenda. People not accustomed to being able to live their lives fully and being able to seek out Jesus in the manner that we do. There's people that crave to hear about the word of God who fear to leave their homes because of what may happen to them. To hear that message that God gives us that transforms us. And we may sell ourselves short at times. There may be those who will try to hold us down, to beat us back and say, we can't change the big picture. There's nothing we can do that can actually be meaningful in our society. Oh, goodness, but Jesus tells us something else here. Follow me. Love me. Love your neighbors. You feed them, you house them, you pray for them, you pray with them. We encourage them, we help them. Because remember, when you have done it to the least of these, who have you done it to? To Christ himself. Our own salvation is so closely connected to the salvation of the people around us. And I'm not talking about everyone here this morning. But around everyone in our community, whether we like them or not, or whether they like us or not. And when Jesus calls our name out, he's calling us, you and I, to join with him on this journey here. Even if we have become comfortable like Peter and have to be reminded that even though we think we may be first, we may very well end up being at the end there because we have forgotten what our actual calling is, because the good news is about people and about community. It's not about hooking the fish or that warm body in a seat, but it's about loving people. Not about statistics or numbers or what else you may have heard, but about caring for people, treating them just as you would expect them to treat you back. Yeah, I know this can be a tough one. It can be difficult, especially when we try to cop out and just follow a few easy rules instead of some of the simple rules. Some of y'all may have got what I was going at there. Got all punny in a Wesleyan way. John Wesley, 3 simple rules, taught us first, do no harm. Not to your family, not to nature, not to your neighbor. He left it open-ended, just do no harm. This is one of those negative commands that, goodness, is easy to follow, isn't it? And the second is like it, do good. Oh, this is where it's going to get a bit difficult for us, because we like to think that if we don't do anything bad, we are already doing good, and that we're going to be first, when in reality we're bringing up the rear. And when we're doing good and all that we can actually do, good heavens, then we're going to be reflective of God in the community outside of the walls of the sanctuary, of the safe places that we construct to feel comfortable. It's that simple. Sometimes the simple little task of doing good may involve just helping someone pick up their broken pieces. We ain't trying to really help them straighten up the clutter, but helping them out of whatever kind of mess they may have found themselves in on any given occasion. That's what it's like to show love to our neighbors and to our friends, to our brothers and our sisters, whether we is related to them or not. So what y'all say? I say we show the cooperation that Christ calls us to have with one another. When we're instructed to break bread with each other, to be at peace with one another, when we gather to be genuine with each other, not holding back anything either as host or guest, and love each other as Christ loves each and every single one of us, despite the imperfect people that we are, because, well, there's always room for improvement, as Granddaddy used to say. Even when I brought home that straight A report card, only to have those what I hope were wise, sober words, but the Almighty goes by your heart, not by what you or many of the judges in this world look upon us and decide. And I say it again, just because we think we got our acts together like Peter, we got to get called out. Because we have to be reminded each week that we are to act like the decent human beings that we are, that have dignity and respect and honor for more than just ourselves. For our neighbor, for the one that doesn't speak our language, the one whose Pantone's a few shades darker than ours, or a different hue, the family that we criticize because we don't think they're raising their kids right. We see how those 2 girls act in the backyard. The family we think is picture perfect, but is really indeed broken inside. The couple wants to love one another as any other married couple, but faces bigotry and hate. You know, I've lived all around New York in the metro area. Let me tell you something. Port Washington's a great community. And compared to many others, it might look like we got straight A's. And Lordy, I never dreamed of the day I'd quote Granddaddy to one of our congregations. But Port Washington, there's room for improvement, isn't there? Let's look more closely around us. We got to listen more intently to hear the hear the cries, hear the words of those we may not normally hear, and then we go where Christ has called us to go, knowing that God is working through us, working through our hands, through our words, through our actions, through our church, through y'all, the beloved community here, to make a change in the world that is going to be noticeable. We're to be a servant to all. We're to be last. We're to be first. We're to be one with each other so that if we are seeking the validation that we have obeyed each little rule and bylaw of the church, so that we can know that we have something higher to fulfill than just that. So that when we actually say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," just like the prophets before, or whether we decide to stick our head in the sand like an ostrich, instead of following God's call to do no harm, to do good, and to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Because God's intention, God's calling to us is set, and we, just like Peter, just like that young rich guy, we don't appear to have the ability to call the option, because there is only one way to play this game. And it's wide open, 100% committed. Because the good news is that there's nothing for us to fear. Because when we are doing the work of God, God's with us, God goes before us, God's beside us. We're not alone. So we have to realize that we got to get out of this safe sanctuary. You have to step out into the world in boldness and in confidence to bring out there the word of God that we know can make miracles happen and can accomplish the impossible. The God who can take fear and turn them into new beginnings, who fills us with new life so that we may be the joy-filled beings we have been created to be. We've been given the summons. Because it's time, beloveds. God has called each of you because you indeed are needed. You are loved. You are looked after. Are you ready? I say again, church, are you ready? Yes. Amen, and thanks be to God.